And we're live. Welcome back to another week at Drone DJ. This week, we've got firmware update news, both from DJI and Autel. Also news on Major League Baseball starting to use drones regularly as their event live coverage. We also have video of the week. This time is a very specialized drone in the cage for confined space inspection. And lastly, for rumors, there is a new DJI controller that's now on the FCC list, which usually signals the pre-release of a new drone, so we can definitely speculate on that. Now back to Kirk. First of all, we're now on casual Friday, so basically we've changed our Wednesday schedule to Friday. Instead of being in the middle of the week, now we're towards the end of the week. And plus, you know, if Kirk seems a little pixelated in this video, we also have an excuse, right? It's casual Friday.
Yeah, I got to reset my modem or do something because, yeah, I've had internet issues the past couple of days. I don't know what's up, but so casual face look.
So going back to firmware updates, both DJI and Autel had firmware updates in the past week. And last week we talked about, you know, you were experiencing a little bit of firmware issues with the Autel Nano and Nano Lite. So hopefully
I'm still working with Autel on it because I do have, of course, early drones. I just have them on the flying around because of weather. And so it looks like I got pre-release firmware. So that's, I'm not like going to straight up say it's Autel's issue just yet. So we gotta get that figured out and situated about what the issue is with that. But if you do have a Nano or Light Plus, or just Light Plus, Nano Plus, or regular Nano, regular Light drone, you do have a new update which gives you some new features. So I think it does, it lets you go up to 50 FPS on certain resolutions. It's 1.1.14 is the new update. You can update through the phone. Honestly, updating the Nano, I've realized in my experience, is a little finicky. Because I know there's updates, but I can't force an update, as is what I've seen so far. You kind of have to wait for the pop-up to show up on the app for you to update it. I did reach out and see if there's a way I can force it. Like through my Mac or something like that. I'm still waiting on a response from them on that, because that would solve all my issues. So
so we shall see.
Yeah, and Shashi with the DJI is more user-friendly with connectivity than iOS. I don't know about that, but I just saw that. I read the first part, like, DJI is way more user-friendly, and I agree. Yeah, then I thought it was going to be a comparison between DJI and Autel. Like, trying to get so far trying to get the Autel to connect, and then it's such a pain than what it is for DJI that just pops up automatically. So,
and going back to the iOS versus Android on DJI, you want to hear the irony of it is if you look at the DJI built-in screens, right, either the Crystal Sky or the smart controller, it's an Android device. But so many of DJI's app versions, for example, one of the enterprise version, is only compatible with iOS device. So it's not even compatible with Android, which is DJI's own, Crystal Sky. Essentially, it's the tablet, right? The screen is the tablet and the system and then the smart controller. So that's the irony. You know, I do agree. Yes, it is more user-friendly connectivity-wise for iOS, but the DJI's base system is Android-based.
And it's weird. So the most I can add into this as being a software engineer in the past with the mobile space is there are way more, the market for iOS is way more easier to handle. I mean, there's more, there is most likely more iOS users than there are Android users, especially if you're talking about US wise. So they're going to tailor that towards iOS. Like you said, like their own tablets are Android based, probably because they can get away with doing that software and not having to go through the review process. Then even though the Google review process is actually super easy, but like, that's all I can really add is like, they probably put more emphasis on the iOS app than Android right now, because that's just kind of how most companies do it for at least the time being. We'll see how that changes if Android grows more.
What's interesting is the last two firmware updates from DJI are both heavily focused on the Fly app. Mm-hmm. We still haven't figured out what's DJI's angle on the Fly app versus, you know, the previous DJI Go 4, which is still supporting the Mavic 2 Pro and the Phantom 4, right? Mm-hmm. So not much of updates or plan from DJI. I guess we'll see what happens, because a lot of the features on the original DJI Go 4 app are not available on the Fly app, which is now also Fly app is being used for the Mavic 3, which is for the pro market. So you would think that photographers and cinematographers using that higher end drone would want to have more control camera wise. Right. Mm-hmm. And unit wise. So I guess we'll see, you know, DJI keeps on hashing out all the firmware updates and we'll see where they actually land on the Fly app. Are they essentially going to make this a DJI Go 4 app, just not in name?
It would be nice to just kind of, I mean, Autel has the same thing, when they have the Autel app and they have the, I think, Autel Explore app, I think is what it's called. And one's for the Lite and the Nano, the other one's for their Evo series. It'd be nice to just see them just combined, because, like, it's software. You can change the UI based off, like, you know, what drone you're using, or you can set up, be like, okay, I want the Go experience, but I want it with, you know, my Air, or I want it with my, like, you know, a drone that's not supported by the Go app, but, like, I want the non, you know, the other options with the, I don't know. Like, I feel like there's definitely a way they can combine it all in the one app and just make it easier on the end user to find what app they got to use.
I'll give you one example on usability. If you're on the DJI Go 4 app, say if I'm updating my return to home altitude, mm-hmm. right? If I click on that and it can pop out a little keyboard where I can type the number. So mm-hmm. I can go really precise. I can go, let's say, 40 meters. I can go, you know, 30 meters. But on the Fly app, it's a bar, right?
Yeah.
And if imagine if you're on the small screen and it's cold outside, you know, wear gloves with a little bit of that touch screen, you know, patch on it. Good luck trying to get that number to where you want.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why you can't have both in one app, you know, going there.
That's a question to DJI. I agree.
I know. Like, yeah.
I'm just speaking from usability, from user backend, is those are the features that are not available. And it's just control-wise, right? It just feels like with a Fly app, you're leaving more in the hands of the app versus the DJI Go 4. You as the pilot have more control on exactly what you want. Now, moving on, video of the week. We don't really have a video for you this week, but the Major League Baseball actually announced that they're testing drones in aerial coverage, right, for mm-hmm. their games. I guess, you know, one of the first question is, why do they have to test it? Why can't they just start using it?
I mean, I guess testing is, they want to, I guess, see what it looks like. So they're using it on a...
Or what people are saying.
Yeah, I see what people are saying about it. I mean, I'm excited for it. I think MLB, you know, baseball coverage can get a little stale, especially if you're watching it through TV. I think watching it in person, I think is way different than anything else, but like on TV it can get a little stale, and they're doing it. I can't remember who they're playing, who are the two teams, San Diego State and then Texas Christian University were the teams they were practicing it with. And we don't have footage, but like just from the screenshot, you know, I would be way more interested in, like, they had like a drone that close up to a runner, like, running through the bases. I think that's like way cooler. Although I feel like that's asking for a wild throw. They just pelt the drone and cause way more issues with rules and obstruction rules. But I'm interested to see how this works in the long run. They're using DJI Inspire 2s,
X7, which is really good quality wise, mm-hmm. and camera wise, you know, it's saying that it's going to be operated by a single pilot backed by a controller, but really it gives them more capability. If they're using the Inspire 2, they can choose to add a second camera mm-hmm. operator. You can have dual controller, right? So if it gets into, you know, challenging shots or challenging situations, it is easier to manage because the pilot focuses on flying and then you have a separate camera operator. I'm also interested in, because this is live event, people often forget there's a huge difference between going to film something, you know, transfer the footage, edit it, release it, versus live broadcast. That's actually a different game. I'm really interested in knowing what platform, and I wonder if that's where the tests are actually, is to test the live broadcast platform, just to make sure that, you know, all of this can actually go streamlined, right, for live broadcast.
Yeah, that there's probably a lot of things for testing, because I think there's also, you got to test, you know, back end, you know, the producer, you know, cutting the feeds, making sure that there's drone footage, you know, there's always a drone shot that they can cut to or stuff like that. But I'm excited. I hope they release footage. I think the only video we have is just of the drone operators landing. So I hope they do at least this gets to the formal professional league.
And I wonder how the players feel about it.
I know. So I was thinking too, like, because if I was running on base and all of a sudden just hear a drone, because like, do you know like what the how loud it Inspire? I've never
Inspire 2 is
I figured it's loud. I mean,
but also in the stadium. I mean, if the audience is loud, you know, if you have other things happening at the same time, I wonder how much you actually notice it.
Well, baseball's not a really loud sport. it's kind of like the next step up of golf. So I would probably not enjoy having a Inspire follow me around. That might be a little loud, especially if you're trying to hear a coach yelling at you or
that's true.
Cause while I love it, I mean, it depends how many people go to the baseball. I mean, it's baseball still a very verbal like sport for like call outs and stuff like that while you're running. So you got to hear when your team yells the slide or whatever. So that would be, it'd be interesting to see how the players feel.
And depending on how they feel, it's that specific frequency of sound from the rotors, right? It could be annoying depending on how you look at it. If it's just buzzing around you, someone may actually feel annoying.
Yeah, it would probably not. Yeah, I can imagine that.
So Kirk, there's a question for you. Have they smoothed out the sticks on the Autel? I think we were talking about the sticks on the Autel when you first got it. What's your
plan? I got the controller. Is that, I think that's what they mean? Like,
yeah, the controller sticks.
They're still a little clicky. I guess is that the term for like moving around? They're not extreme. They're not as smooth as like DJI sticks at all. Still a little bit. I think the joysticks are just the one thing I think that they really need to improve on their controller. Overall, they're not necessarily the smoothest of the world. I would,
because on the DJI, you can adjust. So I totally get what Ron is saying, because on the DJI we adjust the gain, right? We adjust the gain and the expo for the controller as well as for the gimbal. So depending on how you want the movements to be, you can actually make that fine tuning. Versus on the Autel, we had issues with the previous Autel versions too. And it's also depending on your specific movement. So say on the Autel, I notice if you're moving forwards, you don't notice it as much. But if you're trying to do a slider shot like sideways, then you do notice it quite a bit. The video sequence isn't as smooth. I'm not sure if that's something they can fix through firmware update for the flight controller, if it's a calculation issue, right?
Yeah, I definitely need to have more time flying with it. I think I only have like 5 minutes of flight time so far with it. So,
weather is supporting.
Weather is not helping, and firmware is also not helping. So those are the two things. I mean, I can get the Nano flying. I just can't document it by doing photos or video with it yet. So, but I can get it at least flying.
Now, moving on, this is one piece of equipment I'm actually really interested in. This is the Lumicopter, which essentially this is a cage add-on, right? You can put on the DJI FPV drone, and now you can go into confined space for inspection.
It looks a little like a droid from Star Wars in my head.
I wonder how much does it affect the flight performance.
I wonder that too. I wonder what the weight is on it. I'm sure it's very lightweight plastic or something like that. I can't imagine they would use metal, a metal cage. That would just be detrimental to the flight time. But I just can't get over the fact it just looks like one of the from episode 3, the first Star Wars that came out, like the medical droid that came into the room. That's what it looks like. I will never not get that out of my mind at all, seeing this thing. Although it's a very cool idea to make sure that you can fly it and fly it safely. And
yeah, I'm really interested in testing this, because I remember we did a research project a couple of years ago with actually local bomb squad that are trying to send the drone into different spaces, taking a look before, you know, deciding to send anybody else in. And the challenge was always the propellers, right? And if you put them, even if you put propeller guards, that's not protecting you on all fronts. Mm-hmm. So I actually thought if someone came up with a cage and it just goes outside of a drone, like an existing drone, because we've seen other solutions when, you know, people are actually making the entire system, right? The cage and then their own drone in there. But I always thought if someone can just do an add-on and then put be compatible with, let's say, the existing DJI drones, mm-hmm. that would be interesting.
I'm surprised Small Rig hasn't gotten onto this, because Small Rig has the cages for all almost like every handheld camera out there. And I feel like this makes sense for them to do.
Well, you need lightweight. That's probably the difference.
That's probably the hardest part. Yeah, because Small Rig's cages for their cameras are like all just made out of pure like metal. They would have to like do either plastic or carbon mm-hmm. fiber. Carbon fiber would get really expensive, but plastic would be... That would be only two options I can see, plastic and carbon fiber. One for your more amateur or low budget end, and then one for your high end.
And I also wonder how flex is the cage, right? If you hit something, does it kind of bounce a little bit, not so rigid that it would break, right?
Oh, I can totally, I need to get a hand, I should get one of these, and I'll test that for you. I got a basement down here. I'll just go right into the wall and see how it goes.
Right. Just don't tell your house insurance provider.
No, not at all. No, it's fine.
Now, last piece of news, rumor time. Now, finally, we're starting to see signals of DJI planning to release a new drone, because, you know, we're seeing a new controller now. It's on the FCC database. That's the DJI RC Plus. So I feel like RC Plus versus the current RC Pro, is that the difference? You know, like an updated version? It definitely looks almost a completely different design, right?
It definitely looks... I like it. I like the look of the design of it. I like that it has these function buttons on the left and right side. I wish I knew exactly what all the buttons would do. You know, I see return to home, I see power, I see two joysticks to... It looks like a really solid professional controller, which leads to believe that if they're releasing a new drone soon, it's going to be for a professional drone. Or they're going to release this as like a new controller for all the professional drones. And then, you know, it might be just they'll tie it with another drone release. Who knows? But I think it does look fairly similar to possibly controllers from DJI's agricultural drones that they use over in China. So that's, I think, what we're thinking, but who knows?
I hope they make it compatible with most of the DJI drones. I mean, for example, the smart controller, we even connected to the Mini 2, which, you know, the smart mm-hmm. controller is more expensive than the drone itself. But yeah, when we go out with, let's say, Mavic 2 and Air 2S and the Mini 2, it's actually good because you can swap. You can use the same controller and just connect to a different drone, right? I really love that. So you don't have to carry so many controllers with you. But the one thing I'm hoping they have on a new controller is swapping batteries. Because the smart controller batteries die way too fast, especially in the cold. And you can only charge it, right? I mean, we use a Blue Yeti, which is you know, just your huge battery, right? Like on location battery, so we can charge while we're using it. But dangling a cable is not ideal. I'd really prefer the controller, smart controller, or the RC Pro controllers can swap batteries. And it's not new, right? DJI already has that for Phantom 4 RDK. So you can just open the back of the controller and just change the battery. Brilliant.
And the bottom of this controller has that little like kind of cutout. So there could be something in there. possibly.
I'm hoping that's the battery swap.
Yeah, or at least have like one hot swappable battery. I mean, I guess I can understand like they have like one internal battery and then like one like
that would be even better, right?
Yeah, so just have one that you can
without actually turning it off. Yeah,
yeah, and then you can that would be actually really, really smart.
It is an interesting controller, I have to say. It looks ergonomically, you know, I have a good feeling about it. But looking at the buttons, the L1 and the R1, I mean, those buttons, I wonder if they're the typical, you know, like on the traditional DJI controllers, on the top, you have two buttons, right? And then at the bottom, you also have customizable buttons. So I wonder if they're putting all of them just on the face of the controller now.
Or they're adding on more because, I mean, you know, who knows if they're going to just kind of just give you all the options.
Oh, yeah, like there aren't enough buttons on the
Just give you more buttons.
How many fingers we can use when we fly anyway.
It looks like those are going to be easily, you know, you can easily hit those with your thumbs. Although, I guess when you're flying, you don't want to take your thumb off of any of the joysticks. But
No, that's why typically you have your two fingers on the joysticks and then you use the other three fingers. That's why the buttons traditionally were, you know, some at the bottom of the controller and then some on the top. So you can utilize, you know, all your fingers. Simple thing as try to do a drone shot. Because try to do a drone shot, you have to have your hands on both joysticks because you're going up and then pulling back at the same time. Then you also have to tilt your camera at the same time because as you're going up, your framing is changing, right? So if you don't do the drone shot through master shots or quick shots, if you do it manually, it's one of the most challenging shots to do, which is really good for practice. But that's when you really see the positioning of the buttons, why they're there, because it makes sense.
I mean, I can't imagine DJI is going to go out the window. I mean, this would be like more of a enterprise type drone rather than like a cinematography or anything like that type drone. It would make sense for that because you'd have more automated features. So you can just kind of like sit there and it'll be automated going straight. You just hit a button and it'll do change change the camera settings or change the changing camera settings. Actually, I mean, if you have ability to do that, you know, like different resolutions or different frame rates or whatever that at a single button would be kind of nice as well. So
you can preset,
preset stuff, whatever. So, yeah.
Well, we shall see. And plus, you know, anytime DJI's got a new controller on the FCC list, history has proven that very soon a new drone is going to come out. And going back to towards the end of last year, when we speculated what new drones are coming out from DJI this year, right? So we were speculating there's one in spring, one in the summer, and one towards the fall. We speculated there could be a Mini 3. A Phantom 5, right? Inspire 3. I think those were the ones we were guessing. So based on the controller, we'll see what ends up coming out this spring.
Mini 3 right now is rumored for April, I believe. I think it's according to Geodrone. So who knows? So yeah.
We'll see.
That's the most recent one, but like I don't see that. I mean, we haven't heard anything, so.
Looking at the features from Autel Nano Lite and Autel Nano, I would say DJI probably would want to catch up with the sensors. So that's the one thing I would like to see from a SEP 250 drone from DJI.
I want to see obstacle avoidance. That's what I want to see. I mean,
that's what I mean by the sensors.
Oh, sensors. Yeah, sorry. That camera sensor. Yeah, the obstacle avoidance. Yeah, that's what I want to see. Because the little bit of time I flew with the Nano, it was nice to be notified when the tree was behind you. Like, I knew the tree was there. I just, you know, all of a sudden just popped up like, oh, hey, you're 15 minutes away. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, I'll stop flying towards the tree. And then it's just kind of nice to have. Not necessarily needed, but nice.
Well, we're coming up to be almost the end of February. So hopefully, you know, weather turns warmer. We're all getting ready for the fly season. And we shall see what new drones are coming out into the market then.
Yeah, be an interesting couple months ahead.
So that's all we got for you this week. It's not a major news week. And as I mentioned, from this week on, we're going to be Friday every morning instead of Wednesday. And it's going to be the casual Friday. So if you got anything to share with Drone DJ, please leave them in the comments down below. And we'll see you all back here next week. Have a nice weekend.
Have a good one.